Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose, Rose Colombo. Hope you're having a great day. I think it's a great day because we have a great guest that's going to be joining us very soon. And we're going to get right to the point when she arrives. And her name is Olympia LaPointe. And she is the author of her latest book, Answers Unleashed. And we are going to be just infatuated with her her knowledge on the brain. And she happens to be a rocket scientist. So she's also an author, and she's been seen on radio and TV all over. I'm going to tell you a little more about her in just a little bit. And before we enter into the world of experts and authors, but I'm also excited today because this is a historical day. And why is it historical? It's historical because President Donald J. Trump has flown across the oceans, and this is history in progress. And he's flown to Vietnam, and he is creating world peace, and he truly should get the Nobel Peace Prize. He is not creating wars, he is creating peace. And Trump and Kim Jong-un are sharing another handshake at a historic Hanoi summit. I mean, this is absolutely amazing what President Trump is doing, not only for America, but around the world, to try and make countries better and more peaceful so that we can all shake hands and get along. Like Rodney King, for those of you who remember Rodney King, who was abused by the police back in the 90s, and then it hit the news because it got caught on video, which was rare back then, and there was a huge trial. And one of the things he said that stuck with everyone that followed the Rodney King story was he said, "Can't we all just get along?" And boy, isn't that the truth? How is it that we all just can't get along? Because the world is getting smaller. It's getting smaller because of communication. It's getting smaller because of air travel. And you can get from place to place much faster than you could in the past. I can't even imagine when I'm dead and gone how fast you can get from A to B. I mean, they're building trains planes that just are absolutely amazing, go at amazing speeds to get you to your destination. So as that continues forward, the world is getting smaller. So we do need to learn how to get along. And one of the ways we do get along is by thinking positive thoughts. If we are kind to other people, whether they're poor or they're homeless or they just need a helping hand up or they said something to us that hurt our feelings, or text us something that hurt our feelings, we can, as human beings, rise above it. And when they ask forgiveness, forgive them and bring them back into our lives. I mean, we do not have to cut ourselves off from people who say something that hurts our feelings. We do not have to cut ourselves off from somebody who does something that we don't approve of. That isn't what God meant for us to do in this world. He meant for us to be examples and to love people who are sorry and remorseful and to help them. And in return, karma happens. You want to call it blessings, you want to call it God, whatever you want to call it, it will be returned to us. And we need to do that around the world. We need to send out blessings to people around the world. We need to send out love and thoughts of love to people around the world. And we need to ask God to keep his hand on all people around the world, especially those who are living in poverty and who don't have the any way to access health care, quality health care, or to access safe shelter and good transportation or jobs. Because when people are trained up to do a skill and they never had a skill before, you'd be surprised how that person or that child or that young person or that adult or mature person, it doesn't matter, will receive the benefit of feeling more confident about themselves, have more self-esteem, and want to move up and continue on with being productive in the world. But it takes people. And one of the sad things in our country today, in the United States of America, which began with Obamacare in 2009, when the Congress passed mandated taxpayer-funded abortions, is that we are now at an important point in our country where either we are going to respect human life or we are going to continue to commit genocide against natural-born American babies in the USA, even at 9 months, even after they're born, and leave them on a table to die. You know, God said to procreate. He didn't say go out there and abort, because we need babies, natural-born babies of each nation, to preserve each nation. And we are not the set up to be the tyrannical dictators of who can have babies and who can't have babies. I mean, that is insane, or how many babies a family may want to have. Some people like no children. Some people like one or two or three children. Other people like six children. But I can tell you that having a family is worth everything, because in the end, is all you have as you grow older is your family. And you might have one or two really good friends, or they may have even been friends since your childhood. And it's very difficult to even have one or two super friends who would drop everything to help you in this world, even though there are billions of people. So that's why I think that mandated taxpayer-funded abortions should be defunded, and people should, in America, where contraceptives are readily available and inexpensive, and there are free clinics, and that they should be responsible for their own actions, and I think that would make them responsible. I think that people, including young people who are educated on this topic, would be be more wise about their actions, and they would take precautions. And then we wouldn't have to even worry about mandated taxpayer-funded abortions. Because it goes far beyond mandated taxpayer-funded abortions, it goes beyond depopulation. It goes into depopulation of the natural-born Americans who are needed to preserve the United States of America. But people don't think about that. And what right do we have to use babies and torture them by stabbing them in the spine or in the heart with poison, which is pain and suffering, and snuff them out and use them as human commodities for human capital by selling their body parts? I mean, that is not the America I grew up in, and it shouldn't be the America that you approve of or you want for your future. So those are just thoughts to think about, and that goes along with my theory of love, love for babies who are human beings and taking care of babies. And if you don't want the baby, then have the baby adopted out to a family who will love the baby. And I also believe that the father and the grandparents should have a right to take custody of the baby and give the baby life and an opportunity to live. We were given an opportunity to live and reach our dreams, and every baby should be given the right and the opportunity to live and reach their dreams. There's plenty of love to go around, and it's free. Everybody worries about money. Well, guess what? Money comes and goes. And in America, you can pick yourself up and make more money. So it's weird, because if we all decided we weren't going to have babies because of money, there wouldn't be any babies. But somehow God provides, and we're able to take care of the babies and help them grow up and move on and live their American dream, their American way of life. So on that note, we're going to switch over to authors and experts, and we're going to invite our very special guest who's with us today. And she is a rocket scientist and an author, and her name is Olympia LaPointe. And just as soon as I come back from this important message, I am going to introduce Olympia LaPointe to you.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. You're listening to The Rose right here at Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday just for you. All shows are archived, so you can always come back, scroll on down to your favorite topic or your favorite author and expert, and listen at your convenience. But today we have a dynamic guest. She is a returning guest, and she is a rocket scientist, which is amazing for a woman, right? And she is an American author, a professional speaker, an award-winning aerospace engineer, and specializes helping audiences unleash their brain power. She is the CEO of OL Consulting Corporation and Publishing. She helped design and build space rockets, launching a total of 28 NASA space shuttle missions from 1998 to 2007. In 2007, she discovered the 2010 trademarked the condition and term massophobia. Never heard of that term, did you? Well, now you know it. Massophobia, a learning disability and mass fear linked to the amygdala part of the brain. She published the book Massophobia, How You Can Overcome Your Math Fears and Become a Rocket Scientist. And she coined the term Tri-a-brain and created the Tri-a-brain Theory of Relativity in her self-help book. And we're going to talk to her a little bit about those books, as well as Answers Unleashed, The Science of Unleashing Your Brain's Power in 2018. The latest book, Answers Unleashed. And let's just say hello to our very, very special guest. Hi, Olympia. How are you today?
Oh, I am well. Thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Oh, we're excited to have you on our show today because you are a wealth of information and you can awaken our brains. And so we're going to get right to the point and mention that your latest book is Answers Unleashed. And I think that's a really exciting title. I like it a lot. I like your titles and the terms that you coin. And I did want to mention before we get started, this is Black History Month and it's going to end tomorrow. And you've contributed so much to the celebration and the accomplishments as a rocket scientist and an author and an educator. And you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps to become and achieve success. So do you have anything you want to say about Black History Month that will be over tomorrow?
Yes. Black History Month is a month to celebrate inventors and people who are leaders in making a difference and opening up opportunities for people who are African-American, as well as people to understand African-American culture and how that culture has contributed to the United States in so many different types of ways. And I am honored to be an African-American woman with a mixed background who has contributed to our space industry with the 28 NASA launches to space, which I'm so proud to have worked with the individuals and the scientists to be able to do that, and to further create a platform, the AnswersUnleashed.com platform and the Answers Unleashed book series that shows how you can actually take your brain and actually rewire it so you can do great things. And the Black History Month is a great month, and I'm so thankful to be on the show just to talk about. We have just such wonderful inventors that are part of our American history who are African-American individuals. Like, for example, Mary Jackson. She's a scientist and mathematician known across the world. If you have the opportunity to Google about her, do it. Dorothy Johnson, Viacom. She launched different types. Neil deGrasse Tyson. We see him on TV today talking about science. There is just so many different people a part of our history of who is making a difference with educating people. If we look at the astronaut Mae Jemison. She was an astronaut and person. She is a person who is making such a huge stride in helping people see that higher education and space travel is important. And if we look at Katherine Johnson, who's a mathematician about the Hidden Figures, the movie Hidden Figures was about, we see that we have African-American individuals contributing to the United States history that is opening the minds of every single person here, not only in the United States, but across the world, with being able to look at innovation and the ways to be able to create ways for people to create a better life for themselves. And I'm one of those individuals, and I'm honored to be on your show today to talk about what it is that I'm doing.
Fantastic, and it is fantastic what you are doing. And one of the terms that I mentioned to our audience was mathophobia, how you can overcome your math fears and become a rocket scientist, because you're a female, and most females are not mathematicians, as you know, or engineers. That is the minority of people, and even of all races and ethnicities, for whatever reason. So what made you come up with that thought and idea?
Well, that's an excellent question. I am going to be giving a keynote talk to the SAS organization at the end of this month to 6,000 women in the tech field, and I'm going to be telling them this story that I'm going to share with your audience as well. It's this. When women are in technical environments, it's really important for them to understand the gifts that they bring to this world in being able to think logically and being able to connect dots. For me, when I was 6 years old, I went to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and I saw pictures of these men launching rockets, and I was looking at all these technical engines, and I was in the mission control room, and that picture that I saw on the wall really touched me because I saw these men launching rockets, and no one told me that I was a woman and a young lady at the time and that I was going to face more challenges simply because people were unaware that women are just as capable as men. And no one told me that being a woman of color was going to present challenges too, because, again, people didn't understand different cultures and how those different cultures contribute to the fabric of innovation. And so during this process, I went through school, and I loved math and science, but I didn't always do well in it. I failed algebra, failed geometry, failed calculus, and then went on to continue to fail chemistry. And it wasn't until a teacher actually sat me down and said, I'm willing to tutor everyone in this class who's ever willing to show up, is someone who's able to receive tutoring. And I caught the bus 2 hours each way during the winter break just to sit with him for an hour. And in that moment in time, I recognized, I know, it was cold too. And I recognized through that moment that I was actually smart, and although I failed, that didn't have anything to do with my future. I mean, that sounds strange. When most of us fail, when most of us think that we've just missed the mark, we think that we can't do anything to correct where we need to move forward. And the truth of the matter is 99.9% of the time, most errors can be corrected. I mean, if you're still living, you can move forward. And that's my motto. So what I recognize is I have the ability to go back and change my thinking and relearn and take out all the faulty thoughts that contributed to failing. And in doing so, I was able to retrain my brain, go on to California State University, Northridge, where I earned my bachelor's and master's degree in mathematics, and later on went for the Boeing Company, where I helped build and design and launch I helped launch the space shuttle, but I helped design experimental rockets. And in the process of sitting in mission control and helping out with that important technology, which we actually all use today, people are unaware that when I started this job, it was 20 years ago, and I was in there for nearly 10 years, and at the age of 21, I started as a rocket scientist, and I faced age discrimination, women discrimination, discrimination in any type of way that you find. But I had to change my thinking on like this, and this is what I offer the audience. you are placed in a position, no matter where you are, for a reason.
Right.
Every single place that you step, you have the ability to change, and it's by your life, by your being, by your thoughts. People don't recognize, and I talk about this in my book, Answers Unleashed, The Science of Unleashing Your Brain's Power, that your presence alone and the thoughts that you have in a certain moment literally affects your environment, and you send out your thoughts to every single person in a particular room. People don't realize that. When you have a thought that you are in a position where you're going to make a difference, and no matter what, you're going to leave it in a better state than when you first entered it, that, my friends, gives you the power to change any type of situation and gives you the courage to be able to retrain your mind so you can impact the situation to not only provide the innovation, but provide the answers that people need, including yourself.
That's amazing, because we have so many people who are depressed today and seriously around the country and who are angry because of their depression and who feel like they can never succeed or get ahead. And so they're all dependent on, you know, either being on welfare or, you know, the wanting socialism so the state takes care of them, instead of understanding your theory and learning about your theory of how you can change your thinking and what you have to do, which are your secrets, and then, pick themselves up so they can gain that self-esteem and self-confidence and feel good about themselves. And so do you find that this helps more men or women or children, or is it just anyone?
It helps every single person. And the reason why I say that is because every single person has a gift that they bring to this earth. We have to own our lives. I have to own my life. You have to own your life. Your listeners have to own their lives, meaning we have certain talents that is our job to develop, it's our job to cultivate, and it's our job to develop it in a professional way, so we can lead by an example and provide that to people who are looking for the answer that only we can bring. Like for myself, I had no clue that when I was going through math and failing it all the time, that I had the answer, which was how to think in a way so you don't fail in it anymore. And that led to my first book, Mathophobia, How You Can Overcome Your Math Fears and Become a Rocket Scientist. And in the process of creating that book, I recognized that I had the answer. I had the answer of being able to shut down the fear that happened in the brain because I went through it. And that was a gift that I could bring. It's like, ever we go through a tough, challenging situation, the lesson that we learn in that moment in time is what we bring to the table to be able to provide a solution. And for me, I had to go through that, and the solution that I could bring is how to identify these characters that someone has in their brain when they are scared about solving a problem. Now, the problem, when any time someone goes through anything very emotional in their life, it turns on the amygdala part of the brain, which is like the part that has us fearing something in the sense of running away from it, freezing up, or fighting it. And that's basically the amygdala part of the brain. That part of the brain shuts off the frontal brain lobes. It's like an on and off switch. Whenever someone has fear, their frontal brain lobes don't work, and the frontal brain lobes are responsible for our executive thinking, meaning the part of us that's going to actually find a solution, solve a problem, create something that's going to work. But when we have fear, that part of the brain shuts off. So the first step is shutting off that fear so your creative problem-solving abilities can actually be turned back on. And so when someone is able to identify when they are becoming, let's say, Quincy the quitter, when they're giving up before they even try, or Donna the overdoer, when she tries and tries and still misses the strategy, and then when someone's thinking like Samuel the struggler, thinks they'll never be able to be able to take care of themselves and be able to provide their knowledge, or if they're Crystal the criticizer, where they think that everyone else is to blame. We can see that even within some of our leadership. Well, political leadership, when they're blaming everybody else.
That's all they do now, the blame game. They need your class. You need
to
go to Congress and try to
solve the problem. Exactly. We laugh because it's not only seen in an educational system, it's seen when any adult is even trying to solve a problem in their own life, whether they're in a position of power or they're in their own life trying to solve their own problem. If you are able to identify which one of these characters are coming up, you're able to stop it immediately, so you turn off the fear, so you turn on your creative problem solving skills, so you actually find answers. And so that led me to my second book, Answers Unleashed. And so that led to the Answers Unleashed series, which is, okay, now that you're turning off this fear, how do you use your brain so it can actually give you answers?
Well, I wanted to ask you, you also created the Tri-Brain Theory of Relativity. And so what in your childhood happened that catapulted you to be an expert on changing your thinking and studying more about the brain and changing your thinking?
Thank you. Thank you for asking that question. A lot of people will think to themselves, you're a rocket scientist. What do you know about having to change your thinking? And haven't you always been prepped for this type of work? And the answer is no. If you can think of every single type of traumatic thing that can happen to a young person, just imagine it happening, and that is what I went through. And I went through, not to sound morbid, but I did go through some horrible things. And I'm able to look back on my life and kind of smile now because I went through years of therapy, years of working on myself, years of training, retraining the way that I think about things in order to be able to get to this point. So I went through horrible things as a child. Like, for example, when I was really, really young, I was raised by a single mother in the middle of poverty, in the middle of South Central Los Angeles. And it was so poor that right next door we had a crack house next to us, and our mother had to sleep in a certain direction. So if the bullets came to the wall, it wouldn't hit our head. And she put up this metal next to the wall, so if the bullets came through, it would hopefully hit the metal first. And then she had to sleep in a certain direction, so if it came through, it wouldn't hit our head first. But that's the type of environment that we were living in. We had no money at all. We had like $5 for food for five people, and we had to be very creative. And we had to sometimes chew on ice to try and trick ourselves into think that we were actually eating food. That's the type of situation that we're through. So it was very traumatic. Then going through all this type of situation, then my mother was suffered from such depressive thoughts because of that environment itself. And I'm a true believer that when we are in a bad environment, when we don't know the power that we have in an environment, we let the environment take over us instead of ourselves, the power that we naturally have. So my mother was in this situation. She was depressed, and then she allowed people to come into the life that pretended to be friends of the family. Then I end up being sexually abused by trusting a so-called family friend. So then my brain turns off because I am, like, completely in fear. And then my emotions turn off because I can't handle all the situation. And I turned to science because that was the only way that I could actually use my brain in a way that I could be objective, where I didn't have to think about emotion. But I was destined to heal, and I was destined to change my life because science wasn't only the answer. It gave me the opportunity to turn off the emotion and to turn back on my frontal part of the brain. But when I experienced fear, I would still, like, my brain would short circuit. And so as I started learning how to understand the power of my own thoughts on how I could change my own thinking and how my own thinking and how I could look back on a path and actually rewind it and see the truth in it and really reshape it in my own memory cycle is what allowed me to be able to turn back on my emotions and then see my life for what it was, the ability to be able to make a difference in a way that was going to transform lives, including my own. And in that process of doing that, I end up overcoming my fear of mathematics and going to the university and studying mathematics. And then later on going to work for an aerospace company where I had to work with men all the time. And just imagine being a person who went through a tough situation, learning the vernacular of men. And women and men speak differently. And it's a blessing that women speak the way that they do, because I'm telling you, it is so great to be around women. And when I had the ability to be around men and show that not only that women can be thought of in a manner that is respected, but also a manner in which women bring information to the table, it gave me confidence to know that no matter where I step foot, even if it's in this gigantic room filled with 200 men in the middle of a launch review meeting, I could provide a difference. And that process of realizing that we each have this ability to change our circumstances by our presence and our thinking is what allowed me to change my own life. And in the process of doing that, I realized that what I did is connect my brain. And that led me to the ability to understand the Trier Brain Theory of Relativity. Now, the Trier Brain Theory of Relativity is a science theory in which I have devised that benchmarks its process off of Einstein's theory of relativity. So E equals mc squared, that everyone knows, and they see all on the billboards, or when someone wants to pretend like they really know hard science, they put E equals mc squared on the board. Well, I use that to describe how the brain works. And so brain energy, which is BE, is equal to MC squared. And so that is the Trier Brain Theory of Relativity, which states that we have a left side of the brain that's part of us understanding how logically to solve problems. And then we also have a right side of the brain, which is responsible for us processing our emotions and our creativity in those type of situations. And we also have a center part of the brain, which I call the faith sector, that connects the both left and the right together, and which extends into the body. If you can think of like your nervous system as being the roots of your brain, just like a tree has roots, if you can think of your nervous system being the roots of your brain, I use physics and mathematics to actually describe how our energy works within our thoughts. When we connect the left and right and the center part of their brain, we unleash an energy from our thoughts that literally not only power us in every single part of our brain, and it also lights up the rest of our body, but it also is an energy field that extends around each one of us that gives us the ability to transform any situation that we step into. It's all based on your thoughts.
Is that the part of the brain that, like, I wake up, like, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the morning with some crazy idea and I got to get up and I got to work on it or I lose it, and it's like an energy inside that you just wake up suddenly and here's this thought and this idea and concept, you know, where does that come from? Because it happens all the time.
Yes, yes.
And I'm not the only one that happens to. I hear other people say that.
Yeah. Yes, you're correctly right. When we connect the brain, we actually experience what I call intuition. Einstein was a person that said that intuition was the foundation for all innovation. So all these people who are great creating great things, these billionaires that you see, these great leaders that are creating policies, that are creating companies, they're using their intuition to be able to get this done. And what the intuition is the ability to connect the parts of your brain so you actually so it fires in a way that will give you insight and awareness in certain areas of your life. Now, the reason why a lot of people, and this is what I talk about in my book, Answers Unleashed, is that when a lot of people dream, they get answers. And the reason why that happens is because between the 7th and 8th hour of sleep, neuroscientists were able to determine that that's the rapid eye movement portion of your rest time that converts your short-term memory to your long-term memory. So when someone has the ability to condense the memories into the long-term memory space within the brain, it frees up the short-term memory to be creative. That's why sleep is so important. But not only that, in that a moment of time of your sleep, your brain really truly recalculates itself and recalibrates itself to be able to hold more information and connect the dots. That's why people always say when you get a good night's sleep before you take a test, That's because you are accessing your long-term memory to be able to pull together all your experiences to be able to find an answer at that moment in time. See, what happens is that when we dream, when we wake up, there's two types of scenarios. You'll either forget it, which sometimes happens, or you will remember it. Within the first probably 7 seconds of waking up, you'll have a clear answer to whatever it is in which you have are wondering about. One exercise I share in the book is if you go to sleep and you have a pressing question that you need to know, right before you go to sleep, just ask. And I'm a spiritual person, so me personally, I ask God. Everyone's different. Everyone is different in their belief system, but I personally ask God. I ask God, okay, please help me be able to find the answer to this. What is it that I need to know, or what type of awareness do I need to know about this one situation? You can ask the universe. You can ask Jesus. You can ask whoever you like. Or you can ask yourself. But you ask, you can even ask your future self, what do I need to know about this? So you go to sleep. And when you go to sleep, you actually start solving the problem in your sleep, because your sleep is the time when your brain is no longer being distracted by the things that you think are important while you are awake. So, in that...
which is everything, right?
Moment, I know. We are distracted. The job that we have here in this life is being aware no matter what type of distractions come at us. That's our job.
Right.
And when we are aware, we're able to see the connection between the future and the past and the present. But when we focus on the distractions, like the text message that comes through that we think that we have to answer, or the email that comes through from a boss that's really scared for his own job, that's trying to transfer his own fear over to you, when you think that all these distractions is your distraction, that's actually taken away from your own purpose. See, what happens is that in that moment of time, your brain actually rests, and when you wake up, your brain has already connected the dots to be able to give you an answer. And it usually either comes that night, or I've seen a pattern with all the people in which I've helped over the years, is that usually comes within a 3-day time span where there's a certain awareness to a certain problem and you understand it. And it's that beautiful part of how the brain conducts energy. We conduct energy and connect energy in our brain. What Einstein was talking about, the power of light, the speed of light, and how that connects to mass and how it connects to energy. And our emotions and how we... Our drive to actually saw things is part of our how we transfer our emotions into the feelings that we need to get things done.
Does that have anything to do with, like, some people, you know, they'll say, I see a light around you, you know. Is that because your brain is in a good place at that moment? Does it have anything to do with the brain? Because I've seen that on other people, too.
Yes,
like there's
you
a
know,
bright
a lot of
light
people,
around
yeah.
them.
Yes, yeah, I do see the same thing too. And a lot of people actually see light around people, but they're maybe too scared to speak up because they think it's like woo-woo, they think I'm crazy. No, if you see light around people, congratulations, you are in tune with energy. Meaning this is what I recognize. I asked that exact same question to my mathematics professor at California State University back in 1999. We were taking a differential mathematics and chaos theory applications course, and we were talking about atoms. And we were talking about Schrodinger equation and how Schrodinger's equation actually showed that every single atom, when it vibrated, emitted a signature light. And so my next book coming up, and that's going to be coming up in the mid part of this year, is Answers Unleashed, The Science of Attracting What You Want. And I highly encourage people to see that book. I talk about how we are actually
walking. That one's going to be popular.
It's actually how we are a walking atom, and how if we look at the rings of an atom, it's the same as the rings of a universe. If someone has a solar system, it's the same as the rings of the solar system. It's even the same as the rings if you look at a planet. If you go to, the Earth, for example, there's the mantle and the core and then the surface. It's like these rings. And these rings are all mimicking themselves at each place that you're seeing. You're seeing it in Earth. You're seeing it within how an atom works. And you're seeing it how a solar system works. Well, we are comprised of atoms. that's scientifically what we are made of. So if we literally just think about this logically, if everything is made up of atoms, and atoms, through Schrodinger's equation in mathematics, shows that atoms naturally vibrate to signature light patterns, and each combination of the atoms have a signature light signature, and we are composed of atoms, it would make sense that certain things would have certain light signatures. And it's just a very basic way of being able to describe light around people. And that light around people, light in physics terminology, is energy. It directly translates to energy and mass and the speed
of light. Well, that
makes
sense, because usually when I've seen that light or somebody said they've seen it around me, it's because I'm talking about something that I have passion about and believe in, and, you know, and it's educational, and I'm, you know, or it's the same with other people I see. It's something about them that, whether it's a religion or a, you know, instruction, whatever it is, there's something about them that they have this aura about them that you can see they're passionate about what they're talking about. And they love it, you know, and they're sharing it with people. And you can feel that energy. So my next question was, are people who then are negative and have pity parties and poor me and they want to commit suicide and all these other things for whatever reasons, of course, you know, we understand all that. But is that because that light is being just diminished?
No, it means that they have allowed darkness in their lives. This is what this means.
Oh.
Individuals
wasn't expecting that answer. Okay.
No. We all have a choice.
No.
Every single one of us have a choice.
No,
and I experienced it.
I love that.
It's like, for me, I was in the middle of South Central Los Angeles with gang violence. And it's around me. I mean, when you see people die in front of you, that's not a great thing. And that's like, and people that go to war, they suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. If you look at inner-city kids like myself who grew up and had to become a young lady and figure out her own power, moving through that post-traumatic stress of seeing people die and gang violence and things like that is just really tough on somebody. And so your thoughts either emit light or darkness. This is the power that we each have.
Mm-hmm.
What we choose to believe, we either accept light into our connections of our brain, or we accept dark. And let me break it down to you a little bit more. And let me use my own situation. If I believed that I wasn't going to make anything of myself, and if I chose to believe that failing all this math and science was okay, and that was just my future, I would have completely halted my brain from growing back and accepting light back into it. If I did not work on myself and go through the years of therapy to be able to learn to trust myself again, so I wouldn't allow the negative sexual abuse from my youth affect my adulthood thinking, if I didn't take that opportunity to reformat the way that I was thinking about my own power in every single situation as a woman, I would be continuously allowing dark into my life to think that I would be a victim.
Right.
If I do not realize that I have a choice in who I choose to be, and how I choose to impact a situation, and how I choose to learn from a situation, and how I choose to manifest and create something important from that situation, if I do not choose to believe all those things, I am literally stopping that energy from moving and flowing through me, and I, in because of that, am allowing darkness to not move the light.
Yeah, I think that is so important to teach, especially young people, and even, I mean, just about anybody, because everybody can fall into that point in their life, and it's very difficult for people to get out of that point, because I deal with victims of legal abuse for 25 years now, almost 30 actually. And so my motto is I am an advocate for justice who helps victims become survivors. Because you don't want to stay in the victim mode. You want to move on to the survivor mode so you can move on with your life. And so that's why I'm asking all these questions about the brain and the light and you know, your knowledge on that, because I think it's so important to every human being.
And it's a beautiful thing for us to recognize. I think the most important thing to take out of all of this is that we have a choice. We always have a choice. And sometimes you don't know what the answer is, but you know you need one. it's by making that choice of like, do you know what? This is not working. I'm so frustrated in this one environment. I know that there is better. That there is better, and no matter what, I'm going to choose to find it. That decision in itself opens up a power in both you and I and every single one of your listeners to be able to create the mind power and the mental power and the awareness that will bring answers to us. And so we can actually create an answer for our own lives and create an answer for someone else. It's no one else in our job. If we are 18 and over, no one else is responsible for taking care of us.
No.
That's the important part.
Darn it.
we have this ability, this powerful ability to provide, and we can ask for help when we don't have what we need. And we can speak up for all the different parts of us that needs healing in that middle of that situation. So when we recognize that the choice that we have is being able to be the person who you see yourself becoming, then you then create the future that you want.
So do you believe that that there's ways to exercise the brain so that you keep it energized and positive?
Yes. I write about in my book, Answers Only, practical ways to be able to exercise your brain. For a first thing, if someone wants to develop the faith part of their brain, the faith part of the brain is the part that can actually see a future before it exists. Every single innovator has done this. Every single breakthrough scientist has done this. They've seen, like, for example, remember when VCRs came out a long time ago? And they thought to themselves, oh, wow, we've created a VCR. And I remember back in 1985 and 1986, people put, a movie in.
Exciting.
And people used to rent movies from Blockbuster. Someone came up with an idea. Remember that? Blockbuster ran out of business.
Yeah, of course.
But remember, there was somebody that said, there's a company, look at Netflix. They said, what if we see the future, and so people don't have to go to a video store to rent a movie, but they can just go to their computer and click on a button? What if we offer
that?
That's
amazing.
So here these individuals were connecting the dots and seeing what it is that the future before it existed. They had to be able to see that before it even existed to create it. So the faith part of the brain is responsible for creating this future and building a plan to get to it. So in the book, I talk about what do you see for yourself? So whether it be for your company, for your family, for yourself, your career, your patient, whatever it is that you see for yourself, take a moment to write down what it looks like. And you take like maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and literally journal out every single thing that you see about it. Who are you interacting with? What are you doing? How are you interacting with the people? Like, for example, when I was 12 years old, I saw myself as a speaker. Now, I was like, what? I'm a speaker? Who am I speaking to? And I'm like, well, I know I have something to say, but what would I be saying? But I saw myself speaking in front of people. And that later on, what came to be the truth when I would speak, do my TED Talk, Reprogramming Your Brain to Overcome Fear, and speaking to all the people in the audience, not recognizing that was what I was doing. So when we actually start seeing something advance, we actually start programming our brain to actually get to that outcome. So when you write down what you see for yourself, you begin to program in your brain how to get there. The next step is something that you can easily do, is to get rid of toxic emotions and replace it with healthy feelings that will give you the incentive and the initiative to take action towards a goal. And one way you do this is a simple way, and sometimes you have to really learn what it is that you're feeling inside. Sometimes you can be hidden from yourself and you don't really know all your hidden thoughts. And once you become aware of them, that's when you can actually start address it and remove the toxic thought and replace it with something that is the truth now that you're more aware. So one thing that you can do is, like for example, I have a really good friend that's really, really, she's having an argument with her grown son. And she is a dear friend of mine. She has three kids. Her oldest son is someone who just lost the house not too long ago, had a job, and he became unemployed, asked to move back in, but wasn't completely clear with her that he was moving back in for good. So here her son is here in the house. She doesn't know when he's going to get a job. She keeps trying to send it. Well, here's a job there. Here's a go here, and he's not moving it out. So they had a blow up argument the other day. So she texted me and she said, "I'm having all this anger." So I said, "Well, okay, what are you doing to handle it?" Because that's the first thing. It's natural for every single one of us to be angry or have some sort of toxic emotion. We are human. We are not perfect. We will always go through some sort of situation where we are experiencing something that eats us away because we don't know what to do with it. So in her case, she didn't know what to do. She had blew up argument. He stormed off, didn't stay over at the house tonight. She didn't know where he was. And this is like a mother trying to do her best to take care of her son, but then actually show him how he's responsible for his own life. So this is the duality. I think every single parent figure has to go through this at some point in time or another. So here right. She is like, what shall I do? And I'm like, well, first off, how have you addressed your own feelings? And she's like, well, I've been praying about it. That's great, but you have to also do something to get the energy out of you. So she's like, what do you do? I said, have you taken a walk? Sometimes when you literally take a walk, the action of moving all your limbs is connecting your neurons in your brain and your nervous system. And the coordination of walking actually releases energy. So a lot of people walk. And I asked her, what do you do? Did you go out and walk? So she went out and walked. I said, did you ground yourself? And she's like, ground yourself? Yeah, there's a way to actually remove the energy from you back into the earth. And so I'm Native American in my mother's side of the family. And so there's this process that we use where if you need to ground yourself, you put the energy back into the earth. And one of the really easiest things to do is just lean against a tree. That sounds really odd, but it's just true. Anytime you are in nature, if you're next to something that is planted in the ground, your energy goes into that. So your energy can mm-hmm. actually go into the ground. And by doing that, you ground yourself. And then the third thing is, have you written out how you truly felt about all this? And she's like, no. So what she did is she wrote out her emotions. Every single thing that she wanted to tell her son, she did that. So she wrote it out. And so the exercise I give is like to write out every single thing with your hand, everything how you feel, write with your dominant hand. Cool down, wait 10, 15 minutes, write it back yeah. the next day. But when you write it back, you write with your non-dominant hand. When you write back, you either can do a couple things. You can write back an answer from yourself. You can write an answer back from God, or you can write an answer back from the person in which you were dealing with. So you literally imagine what in your heart is coming to you from the other person or from yourself or from God. And you literally take your left hand, or if your left hand is not the one that you usually write with, you take your left hand, or whatever hand you do not usually write with, you take that hand, and you write the letter back with that hand. That does a couple of things. One, it taps into your subconscious mind. The things in which the thoughts would have been hidden from you during your emotion are now becoming light. They're being enlightenment, or they're coming to you. Second thing is, by using your non-dominant hand, you're literally connecting a part of your brain and your motor sensory skills. So there's new pathways opening up in your nervous system and in your brain connection. And then third, by you writing back, you are becoming aware of what the root issue is. There's usually some moment in time in the past where we've held on to a faulty belief and we've kept it, and we think that same belief applies to the current situation, and in reality it doesn't.
Wow, that is fantastic. Unfortunately, we have to close, but I hope you come back, because I'm just so fascinated with everything. But before we close, it's your time to shine, and I want you to tell our audience the names of your books and then where they can get your books and if you have any events coming up that they could attend.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Everyone is able to get a copy of the book. If you go to, I have two books right now, and the third book is coming out. The first book is Mathophobia, How You Can Overcome Your Math Fears and Become a Rocket Scientist. And that book, you can find it easily on my website, I'll give you my first website, olympialapointe.com. That's my main website. You can find the book there. You can download it from Kindle even, so I recommend that, or you can get it sent to you. My second book, Answers Unleashed, The Science of Unleashing Your Brain's Power,